Welcome to Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman, serial entrepreneur, author, and podcast host. Whether success for you is more money, time with your family, a healthy, well-balanced life, or freedom, I'm interviewing guests and getting you the advice to make it happen. So join me as we uncomplicate the complicated, help you define success, and give you the strategies to make it happen. Hello, and thank you for joining us today on the Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman. Joining me today is Mara Dorn. With a career spanning remarkable milestones, Mara has firmly secured her position as a leader for a team of over 350 sales agents throughout the U.S., amassing an impressive career total exceeding $1 billion. Beyond her professional accomplishments, Mara is a devoted mother to three incredible children and a loving spouse. What's more, she achieved the extraordinary feat of becoming a self-made millionaire before the age of 35. Please join me in extending a warm welcome to the incredible Mara Dorn. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks for having me.
So let's kick it off with, what does success mean to you?
It's a really good question. Success meant so many different things. You know, as I've grown in this career, I would say at first success meant the way that I was brought up. So let me just start there. The way that I was brought up is you go and you get educated, you know, and then you go into corporate America. And after corporate America, you land a job, preferably in my family, either a lawyer or a doctor. And you go, you know, into this corporate setting, you make six figures, you walk away with a 401k plan, maybe a turkey if you're lucky. And that was kind of defined as success for me. You know, but unfortunately, when life throws you curveballs or lemons, you have to make lemonade. And that's not what happened for me. I did get educated. I tried corporate America. It didn't really work out for me. And I went into the realm of sales, which was, you know, very cliche growing up. So when I first started in this whole endeavor, I would say 15 years ago, you know, success really meant, first of all, making my mom proud, but having enough money, because I defined it by wealth, to be able to provide for my family. But as I've grown in this business and really have taken a different role, going from, you know, an agent to a leader to really the head of my organization, wealth is not defined by money. Wealth is really defined by helping and serving. So I would say, you know, wealth kind of ties into my why, whereas, you know, at first my why was, you know, for financial security for my family. But today, wealth is looking at the people that I lead and seeing the accomplishments that they've been able to accomplish and being able to positively impact every single person that I meet. And that's kind of my mission, my mantra, one of my many. But, you know, that's how I really define wealth for me, is who can I positively influence and be able to impact. So in turn, they take that servitude type of attitude and be able to impact other people. Thank God, or thankfully, I've been able to create financial wealth for myself. But I guess, you know, money doesn't make you happy. It solves problems. That's all it really does. So I would say that wealth really is a definition for me, is servitude and ultimately being happy and then being able to leave behind a legacy that I'm proud of.
Absolutely. And providing a job for so many people has got to be pretty rewarding in itself as well.
Yeah, definitely.
What are some specific moments or experiences in your career that you consider a turning point to your path to success? Are there any milestones that really stick out?
Oh, for sure. There's been lots of turning points. There's been times where, you know, the best one that I remember is way on in my career. I wasn't a very good salesperson. I was probably one of the worst. And I was kind of one foot in, one foot out, just trying to figure out if I really wanted to ultimately do sales. And I remember I booked an appointment. I had this lead. I booked an appointment and I went all the way to this house. So at that time, we were driving face to face, kneecap to kneecap, to sell health insurance. So I drive all the way out there. I knock on the door and this guy comes out and immediately you can just tell the guy was uninsurable and we don't sell to uninsurable people. Then the wife comes and she was like even more uninsurable. And I'm like, all right, this is it. And the whole, you know, the whole thing is you don't leave without the check. Well, I left without the check and I left without my dignity because I went all the way to this house and which was an hour and a half away. And I didn't make the sale. So I remember driving back, you know, I'm driving back. I called my manager at the time and I'm like, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. This is not for me. She's like, all right, well, you know, you can come back, bring me all your materials, but let's kind of like go over this for a second. Like, Mara, did you go over the basics? Did you make sure that this person was insurable? No, I didn't really make sure of that. Mara, before you went out there, did you realize how far you were driving? No, I didn't realize that. Mara, do you understand that the niche market who we are selling to are the healthy and wealthy? So I was like, oh God, you know, it's kind of, so you have that moment where it's not everybody else is the problem. It's the moment where you have to really look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am the problem. And I realized at that moment that nothing was going to stand in my way from being successful. It wasn't the leads. It wasn't the leadership. It was me. And it was something that I can control. And from that moment on, nothing was going to stop in the way of my success. In fact, that year, I was 25 years old and I ended up making $96,000 from just that whole turning point where, you know what, my time is valuable. I'm valuable and I'm going to do this no matter what. So that was a huge turning point that I realized that, you know, I'm betting on me every single time. Yes. Another big... Oh yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was saying going from like the college route to the sales thing, right? What did your family think of that? Would they think you were crazy getting into like sales and like door to door type things and stuff like that? I mean, what did they think?
Yeah. They definitely thought because I also have a master's degree in criminal justice. So my future was to go to law school. And unfortunately, you know, in 2008, there was just, I just couldn't afford to go to law school. So this was just, I always laugh. I say insurance chose me. I didn't choose insurance. So here I am, you know, I go to this bizarre interview. I come back and then I tell my family, you know, I'm going into sales. And again, like I already told you that, you know, what my family had in plan or in store for me was I was going to be a lawyer or, you know, a doctor, preferably a lawyer. And I had to come back and say, well, not only do I have to pay for this license, so I had to pay to get employed, I'm going to do sales. And I remember my mom thinking like, you've never sold anything in your entire life. Like, are you sure you don't want to go to law school? She even asked me today, like, there's still time for you. But, you know, all odds were against me, not to mention coming into a field that's a male dominated field. So here I am, this young 25-year-old, very wet behind the ears. And I walk in, you know, to one of these meetings where there was a whole bunch of middle-aged men and they're looking at me like, no way, this girl's never going to amount to anything. And I think that was kind of like the whole, that was the narrative for a really long time. Like, you're cute, you're pretty, but you're really young and you're probably never going to make it, which for me was my internal drive that I was like, I'm going to really, you know, I'm going to defy all odds and I'm going to be the best that I can possibly be. And today, you know, my mom tells me, she literally tells me every single day how proud she is. So yeah, they were a little skeptical, but you know, I've been able to help my mom financially, thank God, you know, be able to give back. And I think that's really the most important. So yeah, I was able to defy all odds in the end.
It all works out. Yeah. And I've heard that from a lot of entrepreneurs. I've experienced myself, you know, family in the beginning going, wait a minute, you left a six-figure job to do this? Like, you know, does that make sense? And then years later, you know, hindsight's 2020. It's like, okay, you did the right thing. You know, you did the right thing. So you talked about your personal responsibility as one of your components and things that you talk about with your agents. Running a company with 350 plus sales agents, I'm guessing you have some leadership principles and things like that that you share across your entire organization. Would you mind sharing a few with us, you know, that have led to successful agents working for you?
Sure. You know, not everybody was successful, but there are some principles that there's no way I'm veering from. The first principle is ethics. You know, you have to be ethical when you're serving people. That's the most important. You never, ever go in there, you know, thinking that you're going to get something from doing something. You go in there intentional, not unintentional, and you go in authentic. So having, you know, the right ethics and the right morals, those are the type of people that I like to associate myself with. And I've known that, I mean, I'm like that. So of course you want to surround yourself like with those type of people, because what do they say? Your friends are your mirrors. Another big thing for me is the attitude of servitude. You know, when you're in an industry that people are coming in and they're salespeople, they know right off, they know from the jump that you're making money off of them. So, you know, they already come in with that whole expectation that they're doing you a favor because you're making money. And that's true because we work for them. So when I'm looking for specific principles or specific values, I'm looking for a servitude type person, somebody that is always going to put the we before the me, somebody that has that attitude of servitude. Somebody that is going to lead from the front, somebody that is impeccable to their word. That's another big thing for me. That's probably my number one, is if you say you're going to do something, then you have to do it. It doesn't, you know, people look to you. And when people are coming into sales or even just a new endeavor, they're looking at you. The skepticism already comes in from the way beginning. They're coming in and they're already unsure, right? They have no idea what to expect. And the minute that you don't stand by what you say you're going to do, you already create doubt. You're already creating like, oh my God, you know, this is commission, this is a scam, or they don't really care. It's a sink or swim. So being impeccable to your word is that is the most important thing for me. And then, you know, I know this is going to sound kind of superficial, but the way you look governs everything. And what I mean by that is you have one time to make a first impression. So if you come in looking unkempt, so if my leaders look unkempt, right? If they look like they rolled out of bed, or they look like they don't care about themselves, and if they don't care about themselves, how can they care about somebody else? So those are primarily the type of attributes I'm looking at, you know, when I'm hiring leaders or not hiring, but promoting leaders. Because I want people, I'm breeding winners, and I want to lead a high caliber team. I'm not mediocre. The people that I work with, I don't want them to be mediocre. You know, it's one of those things, either go big or go home. I'm not looking for mediocrity. And again, you know, I promise from the beginning, when I bring agents into this opportunity, that they're going to have a lucrative career. They're going to make a six-figure income. And if I don't have leaders that uphold those principles, the same ones that I'm doing and pulling on the same rope at the same time, then I'm doing disservice to the people that I'm leading.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great. And that fruit could rot other fruit if you're not setting the high standards that you are. So
absolutely. And positivity. You got to be positive. That's a big thing. No negative, no parking lot powwow, only positive energy. Negative energy does not work.
Absolutely. So in your journey to success, what role has personal growth and self-development or self-improvement played? Are there any specific books, mentors, resources that have had a significant impact on your personal development?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you're not learning and growing, then you're just staying stagnant in any institution or any business that you're in. So yeah, I do a lot of personal development. I work with a business coach. Because how do you get better, right? Any athlete works with a coach, whether if you play golf or working with a swing coach, right? That's my extent of knowing sports, but of course, yeah, I do. I work with a sales coach, someone that comes in and looks at my business. I work with, you know, going to the gym in itself. So that's like personal for me, just to have that outlet to where, you know, I have 2 hours in the morning that is just for me and my mental psyche. I do read. I haven't been reading lately, but I do read a lot of John Maxwell. So, you know, just being able to get in there, I try to get into, you know, different things that are going to influence me, whether it's listening to a master's class, via the iPhone when you're working out, or anything that I can get my hands on that's going to better me. Listening to other people, you know, there's no egos in this world. I certainly don't have all the answers. So it's learning and being open to learning from other people. You know, as you evolve, and especially in this type of business, you have to be open to all the different technology. I mean, just in that is a whole realm in itself that I've learned how to do. But it's continuous personal development. You know, currently I'm writing a book, and I'm not doing it for any other reason than to personally develop myself and write my thoughts so I can ultimately inspire somebody else. But just through writing in itself, it's kind of like that outlet that fills my cup. So yeah, I definitely try to get involved with as much personal development as I possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and that's a good point. You're kind of directing your thoughts towards a book and kind of compiling them. I think it's fantastic. Many of the people I talk to with success face imposter syndrome. And you obviously an incredibly confident woman. Is that something you've ever faced, any sort of like imposter syndrome in your past?
Yeah, of course. You know, being, first of all, you know, not to take it to woman versus man, but being a woman in a male dominated business is tough to begin with, you know. And being so young, I started when I was 25 years old in this, and I was the youngest female in this industry. And, you know, you want to keep up with the best of them. So you find yourself doing things that you wouldn't normally do, like even just, you know, trying to be one of the boys, or just being unauthentic. So, you know, or dealing with things in different ways that are not aligned with your values. So yeah, of course, I think at first I definitely did deal with that, until I finally, and this comes with growth and personal growth and just experience, life experience, that for me, being authentic is really the only way I want to be. I'm very real. I'm very raw. I speak with absolutely no couth. And it's never, and it's always with good intention. It's never with bad intention. So, you know, today, do I suffer from imposter syndrome? Absolutely not. Like, what you see is what you get. It's taken me a very long time to be secure with who I am. You know, before I was so insecure from the way that I looked, or being in a room filled with people. And of course, you know, we deal with our anxieties and we deal with our adversities, but as, again, you know, as I'm evolving in this whole realm of business and just being older and being a mom and watching my daughter, it's so important not to suffer from imposter syndrome and stand by who you truly are, because nobody in the end can say anything else other than, you know, this, and they can't say anything about you. There's no room to even say anything. And if you don't like me, that's okay. But at least, you know, what you see is ultimately what you're going to get.
Absolutely. And it's a lot of energy to put on a lie or put up something. I mean, just, it requires so much energy to, you know, to be that character or to act in a way that's unauthentic to you. So I find it's more freeing, and it allows me to focus my mental energies on other things when I'm my authentic self.
People respect you more for it when you say, it might not be everybody's cup of tea, but at least you know where you stand with me and I stand with you. So there's no room. There's no reason for it. There's no reason to be unauthentic, and authenticity goes a long way. People might get upset with you in the beginning, but I think they respect you in the end for always being real and always being raw.
So success often involves taking calculated risks. I could think in my own journey about situations where I could have been comfortable if I had just stayed where I was at, but I decided to push things and take a risk. Can you recall any specific risks that you've taken that led to significant growth or success, and what factors influenced your decision in taking that risk?
Yeah, for sure. If you're not comfortable with being uncomfortable, then you're not taking risks at all. And I'm not generally a risky person, but there's definitely been times, you know, years ago, as I was growing in this business. And if you know my personality, I am a big personality, right? I don't do anything a little bit. I do everything a lot of it. So as I was growing in this, I made a decision that I'm going to be the biggest region out there. I'm going to be the number one region and I am going to grow, right? And I heard this at a conference once that if you build it, they will come. And at that time, I was in a small office. It was, you know, very comfortable because I can afford it. It wasn't really painstakingly expensive. And we were outgrowing it. And I, you know, by that time, I had people outside, like sitting in the hallway, selling deals and, you know, anywhere they could. And I remember hearing this at a conference that I, you know, if you build it, they will come and eventually, you know, your investment will pay itself off. And I made a really scary leap. I took every dollar, my husband and I took every dollar that we had left, which was not a lot of dollars. And we invested in a building and we took over the entire fifth floor of the building. We didn't have all the agents to fill up that space. But you know what? Within the first 3 to 4 months, we filled up the space and then we took over the third floor and then the first floor.
Wow.
So our very building, which is funny, 13% of our company's sales, entire sales, came from this little building that produced tons of massive producers, leaders, and regions. So yeah, that was a huge risk, but it was worth it.
Yeah. And it's, people I talk to, they say, you know, jump first and then that will appear, right? Kind of same thing along the lines. And so many of these successful people I talk to, this guy I was talking to about a farm, he bought a 300 acre like horse farm. And he's like, I didn't have the money for it to even make the payments and stuff. I bought it. And then everything just kind of clicked into place afterwards. So that idea that you have with the build it and they will come is 100% accurate. And you have to take those risks if you're ever going to, you know, find success in life. So can you talk a little bit about your work-life balance? So with such a demanding career and the family responsibilities, how do you maintain that healthy work-life balance? And what advice would you offer to someone striving to do the same?
So I have no balance in life. I wish that I could tell you that I do. I have zero balance, but, you know, beyond being a businesswoman, being a mom is, if you know me, that is the most important thing in my life are my children. I live and die for these three kids. Like my whole entire being is about these children. I wouldn't say that I do a very good balance act, but I've done a really good job of incorporating them into my life so I can kind of have the best of both worlds. You know, my kids, especially the two big ones, they've watched the struggle. They've watched me come from absolutely nothing to evolving to where I am today. So, you know, I didn't have the means to have a nanny watch my kids while I was running sales meetings or had to show up at team events. These kids had to come with me. So there was obviously, you know, there was no balance in that. It had to work together. And then my husband is also in the business, and that's obviously a challenge too. But I would say that we, you know, more so than balance. And yeah, of course, as we get older, we finally are like, all right, you know, we have to say no, we have to put our foot down. But the luxury of being self-employed and being in a business for yourself is being able to incorporate your children into your business. And I do think that that's positive, sometimes a little inappropriate, but overall, I think it gives them a better picture. And when you meet my children, they are very well-versed. They are very cultured. You know, they can walk into a room and know how to work the room and know, you know, when to hold them, when to fold them, when to smile, when to not. So, you know, in that regard, yeah, it is hard. I love to be at all the basketball games and the football games, and sometimes I can't be, but you know, for me, I'm lucky because the kids understand. And you know what? Technology is great too. So when I can't be there, we'll use the FaceTime. So, I mean, I know you're looking for me to give you like some magical words of balancing. I don't, anyone that's successful, that's probably one of the hardest things is to balance a full-time business and then being a full-time mom. I would say, you know, sometimes for that, not everything's perfect. Sometimes you're going to have to sacrifice, but I do think, you know, because I've sacrificed, I think that the kids see how hard we do work to provide everything that they have. And then in turn, you know, there's a respect factor there. So I'm sorry, I don't really have any real balance, but I do think that the work-life balance, the work-life and home life can coexist together. I do think that that's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I find most people that think they aren't the best at the work-life balance are leaps and bounds ahead of those that think they've got it all figured out, at least in what I've seen in the past. So I'd like to hear kind of a little bit about your daily life routines that you have. You talked about like some of your physical exercise and things like that. But what brings you an overall sense of fulfillment and happiness?
So what really makes me happy, obviously, are my kids. Like that, those are my best moments. It's spending time and being present with them. I've spoken about this before, looking at things, you know, as my kids, I had my big ones when I was a little younger, but for the littlest one who is 5 years old. So when he's experiencing something for the first time, like I'll give you an example. We went to Disney World. I don't love Disney World at all. It's not the happiest place on earth for me at all. But we were in Disney World and the parade came through. And watching his eyes and being present with him, I mean, that really filled my cup. Like just watch, you know, being able to experience those moments with your children, or, you know, the time that I've taken my kids to Israel and watching them be able to travel and see things that they've never seen and watching through their eyes, honestly, best feeling for me amongst anything. So that's really what makes me as happy. It makes me happy is watching them be happy and being a part of those moments with them.
But beyond your current achievements, what future goals and aspirations, both professionally and personally, would you like to pursue?
So one thing for me, you know, my why over the years have changed. Like I said, you know, from the beginning, it was providing food for my family and being able to provide for my children. And thankfully, you know, I've become successful enough where I've achieved that. So my future goals, what I really want to do is I want to positively impact every single person that I meet. I want to be able to take my adversities, my life lessons, and help people understand that, number one, they're not alone, but number two, there are things called controllables that you can control. And honestly, if I can be successful, literally anybody could do it. And I want to empower, you know, men, women, young men, old, it doesn't matter who it is. I want to empower people to believe that if you want to achieve something, that absolutely nothing can stand in your way. So currently I would like to, you know, ultimately publicly speak as far as our business, you know, my current business that I'm in. I mean, I am definitely one of the oldest now, but I'm just scratching the surface. I have a lot of energy. So, you know, continuing to change lives here and impact my agents here and my leaders is something that I'm super passionate about. I want to continue to breed winners. You know, wherever that takes me, I have no idea, but I'm not stopping. I'm not letting off the gas. I'm always up for a brand new challenge. So I'm just going to keep trucking away here and keep inspiring whoever is willing and wanting to listen.
Great. Mara, always a pleasure to talk to you. Really excited, all the things that you have going on in your life. But for everyone that wants to follow you, keep up with what you got going on, what's the best way to do that?
Best way I would say is through Instagram. So if you look up Mara Dorn, MaraDorne, you will find my Instagram page. If you want to talk to me, connect with me, that's where you'll find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Successes Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Bill.